Amen. You may be seated. Well, I wasn't ready for them to stop. Time. Next time we'll have lots more worship time. Hebrews chapter 11. So good to be back. So good to be in the Word together. I have had the privilege of almost 30 years now of being able to talk to the women in this church and share with them the Word of God, and it has been quite an experience, and God's grace all over the place, watching lives change, it's just been a privilege, and we're ready to go at it again. This is going to be a great year studying Hebrews chapter 11. It's a great chapter. And the Lord is going to do a wonderful thing in our hearts and in our lives because that's who He is and that's what He does. He is faithful to His Word. He always has been. He always will be. And when we go to study it, and when we are seeking Him and wanting to listen and wanting to hear and to grow, He's going to be faithful to move in our hearts and our lives and teach us. So we're just going to jump right in. The book of Hebrews was written to Christians who were facing great persecution at that time, great hardship, just because they were Christians. They had put their faith in Christ. They were living obedient lives to Him, and they were being persecuted just because of that. And the persecution became so great during that time that some of them were contemplating abandoning Christ and salvation in Him alone, and they were going back to their religious system that taught that salvation could be gained another way, by human effort, by good works. And the writer tells us that the proper response to any kind of persecution, any kind of trial, any kind of hardship is not to turn away and run away from Christ, but it is to run toward Him and to respond in faith in Him, and that He is faithful and He will take care of us. So Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated so that he did not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, verse 11. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, Jericho. The walls of Jericho came down through Joshua. By faith, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Chapter 11 is an incredible chapter. But we want to read one more verse. We have to move into chapter 12, verse 1, to understand the context of chapter 11. Therefore, because of all this, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, referring to those that we just read about in chapter 11. And the writer of the book of Hebrews, he likens our Christian life to a foot race. And these cloud of witnesses that he refers to, they are not spectators, but they are witnesses. Now, some think that these people are spectators in heaven looking down on us, cheering us on. I do not believe that, because I believe that the Bible teaches that there's no more tears, there's no more sadness, there's no more sorrow in heaven. And if they were in heaven looking down at us, it's not a happy sight to look at this world. So that's not what this means. They're not spectators, they are witnesses, or they are testifiers from their own life experience. They're testifying to us that this life of faith can be lived. Now, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a brand new Christian and I read that verse, I thought, what in the world does that mean? And then a few years later, when I read it again, I thought, what in the world does that mean? And I still sometimes think, what in the world? What? That sentence structure, those words, that just is not making sense in my poor little brain, which is why I read a brain book, tell you. But verse 1, it doesn't necessarily give us a definition of faith, but rather a description of faith and how faith responds to circumstances in our lives. The Living Bible is very helpful as they've translated or paraphrased this verse. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want of God's promises is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we can't see it up ahead. So we know that faith is only as good as the object in which you place your faith in. Everybody puts their faith in something. The whole world does. Some people put their faith in Buddha. Some people put their faith in the universe, in the cosmos. Some people put their faith in mankind and human effort. But their faith is going to be only as sure and as strong as the object that they put their faith into. And Buddha, the universe, the cosmos, mankind, they're all going to fail. They're not sure at all. We put our faith in the only one who is sure and true, and that's God. He is the object of our faith, and our faith is not a blind faith, and it is not a feeling. You know, faith is not a feeling that we feel toward God, but it is our response to what God has already revealed, already told us in His Word. So from His Word, we know who God is. We know his heart. We know his character. He's revealed his plan, his purpose. We know all these things from his word. And we know that he is faithful when we remain faithless because he cannot deny himself. He is faithful no matter what. He's the sure thing. He's the solid rock. I want to read some quotes on faith that I just love. We probably all have our favorites, but these are mine. Warren Wiersbe said, "The word translated substance from verse 1 means literally to stand under, to support. Faith is to a Christian what a foundation is to a house. It gives confidence and assurance that he will stand." And then from our own wonderful Pastor Damien, "Faith is living in absolute confidence in what God has said or promised, even when the fullness of his promise isn't yet seen." Look at verse 13 again. It says that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and they were assured of them, and they embraced them. They didn't see the promise, but by faith they saw them from afar off. Damien also said, "It is living confident in God's word while we are waiting for our circumstances to catch up to what God knows to be true. Faith is believing something to be true because God has said it or promised it." That's faith. God said it, I believe. That's faith in what he said. Warren Wiersbe, he said, "It is a firm persuasion and expectation that God will perform all that he has promised to us in Christ. And this persuasion is so strong that it gives the soul a kind of possession and present fruition of those things." I like that. Yes. That's a confidence that we can have. We can possess those promises even though we haven't seen the fruit from them yet. Bill McDonald, he said, "It makes things hoped for as real as if we already had them. And it provides unshakable evidence that the unseen spiritual blessings of Christianity are absolutely certain and real. In other words, it brings the future within the present and makes the invisible seen." And he also said, "Faith invades the realm of the impossible." Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can do the impossible? Do you believe his word is true? And then that's faith. That's faith stirring up in your hearts. Verse 2, "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." These men of faith, their testimony to us is that this life of faith can be lived. Verse 3, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." God spoke in the beginning. God, he was there, always was. And he spoke. And he created, and it was done. Bill McDonald said, "Faith provides us with the only factual account of creation. God is the only one who was there. He tells us how it happened. We believe his word, and thus we know. By faith, we understand. The world says seeing is believing, but God says believing is seeing. Jesus said to Martha, 'Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see?' And the Apostle John wrote, 'These things I have written to you who believe that you may know.' In spiritual matters, faith precedes understanding." That's what faith is. In Romans chapter 10, it tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we obtain faith, we gain faith, our faith is increased, every time we hear the Word of God and every time we read the Word of God with our own eyes, our faith is increased. If you feel like your faith is wavering, if you feel like your faith is fainting away, read the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to it being taught. It stirs our hearts. I can talk and you listen and that's fine. When I quote a scripture, something happens in your heart. It's food, it's energy. It's like, oh, yes, that's real. It's true. It's doing something inside of us. By faith, we believe the Word of God. We believe it is true because He says it is true and He's proven it to be true. And by faith, we believe that God sent His Son, His only Son, to pay the penalty for our sin. And by faith, we believe in Jesus. We believe that we have forgiveness of sin and that we are made righteous. We have a right standing before God. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. We've been saved by grace through faith. Everything involves faith. Faith is a glorious thing. It's a mystery. It's marvelous. It's wonderful because of who we have our faith in, and that is God, the living, true God, and the truth sets us free. Now, we're called to a life of faith, to walk by faith every single day. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, our comfort zone is to walk by sight. We like to know what's going on. Most of us like to have all of our ducks in a row. We like to have a plan. We like to know the future. And that's what we want God to do and to tell us. And then, of course, we'll believe and have faith. Give it to me first. But that's not what we're called to. We're called to a life of faith, of believing without seeing. Just knowing what He said is true. And trusting Him. You know, faith and trust, same thing, back and forth. Faith, trust, faith, trust. Put our trust in Him, our faith in Him. And we're to live like that every single day. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I know that if I place my faith in Him and I walk by faith every single day, in the little things and the big things, then I'm pleasing the heart of God. When my faith is being demonstrated, I am pleasing the heart of God. Now, the Bible also speaks of a gift of faith. And a lot of times people will simply say, well, I don't have the gift of faith, so I don't do that, and I don't do this, and I don't do that, because I don't have the gift of faith. Other people may have the gift of faith, but that's not how it works. There's a gift of faith, and then there is a daily faith that we are all called to walk in, that daily faith. But once in a while, a Christian may experience a time where their faith is really being stretched. Hard trial, hard thing that the Lord is having you go through and asking you to do. And you don't get it, and you don't see it, and you are being stretched. But Him in His sovereignty, and He knows all things, He knows He wants to get you there, and He knows where you are right now. And so He knows it's going to take a gift of faith to give you so that you can take that next step. And sometimes He just graciously does that for us. Peter and John, right after the day of Pentecost, they were whole new Christians, new to the Holy Spirit, new to the whole thing. And they were walking to the temple, and the lame man was there calling out for them to give him some money. And Peter just looked at him and said, you know, I have no money here. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Well, that took a gift of faith. So Peter's looking at him intently. He's feeling like, okay, the Lord wants me to say this to him. And then God gives him that gift of faith so that he can say it to him. And a miracle happened. Well, that can happen big. It can happen little in our lives. I'll share a time in my life where I know the Lord gave me a gift of faith. And that was almost 30 years ago before we moved to Modesto to start Calvary Chapel. We were living in Napa, and I was as comfortable could be. I was born and raised there. I had all my friends there, my new church family. I was only, at that time, had only known the Lord for 4 years. So when you're 4 years old in the Lord, you don't really have a lot of experience, and you don't have a lot of faith. And so the Lord had been talking to us, doing a lot of things in our hearts and in our lives separately and then together. And he had Damien quit his very secure job at the phone company, sell my dream house, and to move to Modesto with no income in sight for a very long time. Now that's faith. That takes faith, which I didn't have. And so the Lord just gave me a gift of faith. And how do I know that? Because I had no problem. Well, that's not me. As you know, I would have a big problem. I may have a big problem today if he asked me to do that. But at that time, he gave me the gift of faith. I believed he called us here, and God doesn't call us to sell our house, to quit your job, to bring us here and to starve. That's not our God. 4 years old in the Lord. What do you know? You don't know anything. It's the gift of faith. And I did not waver. I mean, I'm telling you, it was completely a gift of faith. Of where I did not worry at all. And then look what he's done. It's just, it's amazing how he operates. I was a brand new Christian. He wanted me to take the next step. And he knew what I needed, and he gave that gift of faith. Well, you know, we walk with the Lord, and we grow in the Lord. And when we grow in the Lord, our faith grows along with that. We mature spiritually. And what would have taken a gift of faith way back then when you were a new Christian, when I was a new Christian. Today, if the Lord had us do something similar or the same thing, he may say, this is the faith. You need to walk in your faith. You need to walk in that daily faith. There's no gift of faith here. You need to exercise. You need to trust me. You need to believe and to step out in that way. James speaks of the trying or the testing of our faith. Those trials in our lives, they test our faith. They reveal our faith. Haven't you learned that over the years as you've walked with the Lord? I certainly have. There's no way I could count the number of trials, really hard trials over the years. And every single one has taught me something about the Lord. He was never unfaithful to me. He always brought me through. Sometimes kicking and screaming, sometimes by the skin of my teeth, sometimes pretty beat up. But he always brought me through. He's always faithful. I've grown through those trials, and it grows our faith. George Mueller said that difficulties are food for faith to feed on. And it is so true. All the difficulties in your life right now, before and right now, are food to your faith. They're building faith in your lives. Fenelon said, faith discerns God behind all the circumstances that try to hide him. So we have that living faith that we need to be growing in every single day. So my recent big faith thing that was not a gift of faith, but it was that growing faith, that daily faith, was 2 years ago when Damien was diagnosed with cancer. That's a pretty big deal. And I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again because it goes with this. And at that time, You know, right beforehand, you know something's not right. You don't know what it is. Both of us are researchers, so you research the whole thing and you kind of have an idea. But, you know, you don't know for sure. And I remember the day we went into the doctor's office for the follow-up visit on a biopsy. And in the conversation, he, you know, let us know about, he did it very, you know, kind of under the, he wasn't the kind of doc, he wasn't an oncologist, so he didn't just come right out and say it, you know, it was kind of an under kind of thing. And so we, you know, you listen and you ask your questions and blah, 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 blah. And so we got up and we walked out, we got in the car, and we looked at each other, and I remember Damien saying, "Did he just say that I have cancer?" I said, "Yeah, he did." And we said, "Okay. Okay, well, our lives just changed, and so now we get to do this differently, and we get to do this by faith and trust the Lord." And the Lord spoke to me, not right that second, but later on as you're home and praying and talking with the Lord. He brought me to that passage in Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, where Jesus and the disciples, he told the disciples, "Let's get in the boat and let's go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee." So they all got in the boat, in the little tiny boat on the Sea of Galilee, and they cast off and were in the lake. Jesus laid down, put his head down, and went to sleep. A huge storm arose. Now, these are experienced fishermen. They've done this their whole lives. And the storm was so fierce, the water is filling the boat, and they freak out. They are panicking. And they went to the Lord, "Lord, don't you care? We're going to die. We're going to die. And you're laying there sleeping." And Jesus spoke to them from both of those accounts. And he said, "Where is your faith? Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith?" And the Lord took me to that passage. And he spoke to my heart and he said, "You have a choice." I've walked with him for a lot of years. It's over 34 now, so that was 32 years. I've walked with him and you have a choice. You can panic like the disciples. And I said, "I know how to do that really well. I'm a good panicker. I've had a lot of practice. I've had a lot of trials. I have panicked. I have been fearful. I have done everything wrong and gotten upset and the whole kicked and screamed. I know how to do that." He said, "Or you can lay down right beside me in this boat with peace and ride this storm because we're going to get to the other side." He never promised to heal Damien. Neither one of us ever thought that and don't think that today. We pray for that, but we don't. He hasn't given us a word for it, but he has promised to be with us and to take us to the other side. So, and he numbers our days anyway, so you can live as long as he wants you to live, no matter what your health condition is. So I had that choice, and I was determined that I was not going to hear those words from the Lord. "Where is your faith? How is it? After 32 years that you have no faith." I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I want to please the heart of God with my faith. How else do I please him? You know, what can I do in this life that would please him? I know that my faith, my trust in him pleases him. And that's where I want to be. And so it's a choice to believe him, to trust him, to rest, or to panic. There's been no gift of faith because this is a daily choice. It's a daily thing. Every time a little thought might come or a little change of whatever might come, no, I'm going to choose. Lord, I believe you. You've never failed me. You're not going to fail me. You're going to take care of me. That's who he is. That's what he does. So I know that when I panic, when I am anxious, when I'm fearful, when I doubt, I'm not walking in faith and I'm not pleasing the heart of God. And so I want to choose to believe and to trust and to have my faith stretched as much as He wants to stretch it. So think for a minute, when you were a brand new Christian, in your walk with the Lord, think about maybe the first time He had you take a step of faith. Probably wasn't a really big one. It was probably go talk to that person or speak up here or, you know, some other little thing that He would have you to do. And you think about the faith that it took for you as that little tiny child, brand new believer, and yet you did it. And you were so blessed because He was faithful and that increased your faith. And then think about all those steps since then. How have you grown? Have you grown? What's He done? I mean, we all have stories over the years as we walked with the Lord of what He has done and how He has increased our faith. And it's a wonderful thing. And this the passage in Mark and in Luke, when He says, where is your faith? Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? Maybe the Lord is speaking that to your heart tonight in a certain circumstance that you're in, a trial that you're in. How are you going to respond to that? What's He speaking to you right now? If He's speaking those words, He's got to be speaking His faithfulness to you too. He has never failed you. And He will not fail you in this one. He's been true to His promises. In Mark 9, there was a father who had a demon-possessed son. And he brought his son to the disciples to cast that demon out, and they could not do it. And Jesus came on the scene. And Jesus said to the father, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father cried out with tears and said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And maybe that's what you need to cry out. Maybe we all need to cry that out. Lord, I believe, you know I believe. I may not believe like that, but I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. That's a wonderful prayer, and that pleases His heart because He will help your unbelief by showing His faithfulness to you, taking you to His word to say, I'll never fail you. I'll never fail you. The Lord calls over a dozen witnesses in chapter 11 to testify to us that this life of faith can be done. No matter what circumstance, trial, persecution, hardship we find ourselves in today or tomorrow, it can be done. You can remain faithful to your God, and you can, your faith in Him can remain and it can grow. The lives of these heroes jump off these pages right into our lives to encourage us. They've gone before us. We know their history, and we get to study their history this year. Hebrews 11 gives us little glimpses, and then we'll get back into the context of their lives, and we will learn how their faith was drawn out and how they believed in the Lord and trusted Him. Even though the promise was afar off, they didn't see it. Yet they continued to walk by faith. Their testimonies speak of a life of that faithfulness and obedience to the Lord, because He's called us to faithfulness and obedience, that it can be lived no matter what. They did it, so can you, so can I. And this race of faith that we're in, we can run hard, we can run in pain, we can run alone, we can run sad, we can run blue, we can run whatever way we can run. We can run victoriously, but just keep running and you will finish. So this year, we want to come under their influence. You know, people influence us. Fear is very contagious. We don't want to be around people who have no faith. who are worrying all the time and doubting all the time, wringing their hands and biting their nails and, you know, all those things that we do when we're afraid. We want to be under their influence. We want to be around people who have faith that we can look at, and their lives are a testimony. And these men and women in chapter 11, we will come under their influence. They will cheer us on. Just as that marathon runner is out there running that marathon, and then the streets are lined with crowds of people cheering them on, and then the runner in the last few miles, when he is in pain, he's tired, he doesn't know if he can make it, was this worth it, I don't know if I can take it anymore. And then if you just picture in your mind all the past Olympic runners, those marathon runners that have won, that have finished the marathon, they are lining the streets cheering him on, and as he's running so slow and looking, he recognizes, oh, there's Moses, there's David, there's Joseph. They did it. They won. It can be done. It can be done. And he keeps going, and he's energized and renewed in spirit. And because of the power of their encouragement, keeps him going. When he feels like quitting, he's not going to quit. They did it. I can do it. Same God. He doesn't love them more than he loves me. He loves us all. He has the power. He's faithful. And then he presses on. And so this year, these heroes, they're going to do the same thing in our lives. If we choose to let them, let God speak, let God do this work in our hearts. So no matter what circumstance you are in or you will be in, know that it can be done. That you have hope. Hope. There's a tomorrow. There's a next year. There's a finish line. Heaven awaits us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And that substance, remember, it means to stand under, to support. Faith provides the foundation for our hope. And that hope is the confident expectation, confident in that what God said he will do. So he's given you promises. He's given you promises for your own life. He's given you promises for your family. What's he spoken to you? What's he spoken to you about your life, your family, your ministry that has not come to pass yet? Don't be a victim of unbelief. Step out in faith. Protect your hope. Build up your faith. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lastly, one of the best passages of a declaration of faith in Scripture, I think, is in Habakkuk. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Though everything around me crumbles, I'm not going to be shaken. I'm going to stand. I am going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to trust him, and that is a faith that pleases the heart of God. That's the kind of faith that he wants to work in each of our lives this year. He can. Let him do it. It's a glorious, wonderful faith because we have a glorious, wonderful God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is true. Thank you that you are true. Thank you that you are on the throne and you are all powerful and all knowing and you are loving and you are gracious and you are compassionate and you're merciful and you're just and you're true and you're holy. And we just praise you, Lord. And I pray, Father, we all want to agree in prayer. And Lord, right now we pray for the sister that's on our right hand, the sister that's on our left hand, the one that's behind us, in front of us. And we pray, Lord, that no matter what she is going through, that she will persevere and that she will step out in faith, though she cannot see, though everything seems to be a mess around her life, help her to trust you. Help her to step out in faith and believe, and to step out in faith and praise you and thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, I pray that you would do a beautiful work in our hearts and in our lives, Lord. Stretch our faith and show us your faithfulness. And Father, we want to please your heart. We want to respond to everything in our lives in faith and trust, believing that you love us and you will take care of us. Go before us, Lord. You've planned the year, and we look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good. So before we dismiss, I want to introduce the leaders of the home groups so that you will, those of you who don't know, will know what they look like, and then you can just... I'm going to introduce them. They're going to get up and they're going to move around the sanctuary. If you're in their group, you can go to that, go there and say hello. She can say hello to you. She has a map to where your home group will be. If you don't want to do that, that's fine. We do have refreshments out there. So let me start. I'm going to do it in alphabetical order. So Annie Muirhead, she's right here. And so just watch your eyes if you're in her group to where she's going to be. Cindy Fulton. And Cookie Spear, Dana Goddard, Cindy, come on down here. Dana, why don't you stay back where you are? Delcie Schoenhoff, she's up, going to be up here. Glinda Gunn, Jeanette Schoenhoff, Jeannie McWhirter, Lori Key, Marilyn Fernandez, Susan Walters, and Tammy Powell. So if you kind of see where they are, they're going to spread out, and you guys can get up. And Julie Horton, you're on here. I just didn't say it. Okay, and Julie Horton. So you're dismissed. You can go meet your group leaders. Enjoy fellowship. God bless you.